This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Shingers and Tass. Last Saturday, we had the unveiling of what I thought were absolutely brilliant designs for Victoria's new Pride Centre, Australia's first. And to speak with us about that today is Dimity Reed. Dimity Reed is an architect, a writer, and I'm told, and very involved in solutions to homelessness. But more importantly, Dimity was also the chair of the independent panel appointed to assess the different designs that came in and to make a recommendation to the Pride Centre board and ultimately those people who are funding it. Good morning to you, Dimity.
Good morning, Tess.
So good to have you in the studio.
It's terrific to be here.
Can I just say before we continue, yes. I've heard you on radio for years.
Oh, look, that's dating you.
It might be. It might be. But I've always been in awe. And to be sitting next to you in the studio gives me a great deal of honour. So I'm really, really pleased
to have
you.
That's very sweet of you.
Well, it's true. And also, you were one of my counsellors once upon a time.
Yes, in St
Kilda.
City
of Port Phillip, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So
yes.
Were you a St Kilda counsellor?
St Kilda counsellor.
Before my time then.
Oh, yeah. I thought so, yes.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yes. But I'm very familiar with some of your commentary, and I've heard you on Radio National and ABC and absolutely have loved hearing you. So great to have you here.
Well, as I said, it's great to be here.
And the task involved in assessing opportunities for the Pride Centre is something that sounds momentous but also extraordinary as an opportunity to be able to shape this huge step forward, I suppose, for our community here in Victoria. What was that like, and how did you go about the task of sifting through all of the ideas and the themes that had come up through that process?
Well, we put a lot of work in over really about 8 or 9 months with all the groups within the community who are interested in being stakeholders in the building. And so we got a pretty fair idea of what everybody wanted, ideally.
Ideally.
You know, we said, let's talk about the ideal and then we can edit it later. And so we put all that together, we put in a brief and we put it out to architects and said, come back with it.
And what were some of the key themes that came through in that discussion with occupants? Because I know that one of the things that came up was the issue of uncertainty. I know the San Francisco Pride Centre has not had that that permanency that's meant that they've been able to put down roots. I think there is a lease arrangement on that property, but this is for, you know, this is for keeps.
How did
that translate into the themes that you got back from stakeholders about how they wanted the building to feel and to function?
Look, we talked to everybody. Jude Munro had been to the San Francisco one and said it was really an office for a series of bureaucrats. And that was a key thing. You knew what you were going to avoid. And so it was crucial to know what you didn't want in the beginning. And so all the stakeholders told us, Joy FM, very specific about what your hopes for growing in the future and television and stuff. Everybody did. We wanted a building which would feel like home to everybody who walked in. They would be welcome and at ease, comfortable, secure, and able to find information on any of the issues that, you know, might interest them.
So accessibility sounds like a key thing.
Accessibility is a... it was really important that even if your particular interest wasn't one of the stakeholders in the body, everyone would know. You know, it is really such a expanded community and so connected that... And it will develop a program. So there will be programs... I can't quite imagine what they are because it's... We've got about 3 years for this to be worked on, and the Pride Board will be working on this with specialists too, I think. But the New York Pride Centre has a very highly developed program. And a friend of mine who was divorced with children, he went there to a father's class to learn how to talk to his children about this change in his life. And those things are important for us to learn from other people. Anyhow, it's extraordinarily exciting.
Well, how do you translate something around openness and feeling welcome? How does that translate into the actual bricks and mortar and the sense of light or space or, you know, areas to access?
It's a fabulous question, and it's exactly what the winning entry did. You know, you can... buildings can often just look like office buildings,
yes,
really.
Yes, and we don't want those.
No, we don't want that. So, if anyone doesn't want that, it's our community.
Exactly.
Yeah. Especially in the middle of Fitzroy Street.
No, and its role in Fitzroy Street is a very important one. Mm. So it's not only an important role in the community, and I would say Australia-wide, because I think there will be other people itching to do these in other states. But its role in Fitzroy Street is extraordinary, because Fitzroy Street has just... deteriorated.
It hasn't.
It's so sad and nasty now, and yet it's the most beautiful boulevard in Melbourne. Mm. It is wonderful. Trees leading to the sea. What an extraordinary thing. When I lived in St Kilda, you know, I'd come out from the city where I was working, and you just look, and looking at the sea at the end of the day is one of life's joys.
I agree, and it's north-facing, and it's always sunny, and it's beautiful wide boulevard.
It's got everything going for
it. It beats me about why it's actually just died the way it has.
So how will the building contribute to the turnaround?
Well, it's going
to
bring people.
That's
right.
It's going to bring people. Yep. It's going to exhibit confidence in the street.
Yes.
And the aesthetic of the design is a very confident one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's an exuberant. It is a very exciting building. And I think that always engenders other enthusiasms. And there are a lot of owners of property in Fitzroy Street who haven't done anything with it. They sit there asking ridiculous rents for vacant
spots. And they just remain vacant.
And they just remain vacant. And we want them... then to be able to say, okay, this street is coming alive again. Mm. What can I do with my property that would make a difference to that and contribute and maybe and get a better return than I am sitting there on a dead shop or whatever it is, you know. So
the other exciting thing about this winning design is that the architects are actually local people.
Yeah, that's right.
And yes, and that wasn't even part of the consideration.
No.
Talk about luck. But it was, that just shows, I think, their understanding of
and
St.
the architects
Kilda.
Are Grant Amon and...
Grant Amon and James Brearley.
Right.
And James has been working in Shanghai for some time, and he and his wife have come back. They still have an office in Shanghai where they do a lot of very important work. But here they are. They're in Ackland Street, and Grant is in...
on Fitzroy Street.
Fitzroy
yes.
Street, yeah. They're all local boys. And so their understanding of the not only an understanding of the local architecture, but, a sort of an inherent...
A complementarity? I don't want to sound like I'm being a politician, but that's a word. You need to fit in with what's already there because there's a strong Art Deco influence.
Yes.
There
well, my sense is that they actually know the area.
Yes, they know the area. And
that's
these
reflected in
things
the
are all
absolutely.
Clues. They've all been clues in...
And also, I don't know James's work, but I had a bit of a look at Grant Amon's website, and there's a number of projects that they've done in the neighbourhood, including just around the corner from where I live, and they are really beautiful designs.
Yeah.
So what that means is that they actually have an experience, they actually have a relationship with it, they actually have an intimate knowledge of what's going on.
And the love of it.
And the love of it. And all of that informs the work that they produce.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really keen to talk about the design. Tell us about the design, because it is really a very out there building.
It is. And it it's quite... I think Grant and James would be weak if I said it. It looks like a series of tunnels that have been put together,
yes,
and chopped in places and things, and that is not that's not actually what they are, but there are lots of curves,
archways, organic feeling archways.
Yes, wonderful archways, moving around the spaces. And in the ground floor, in the middle of the ground floor, there is a most gorgeous... they said it was like dropping an egg through the design. It has cut out a circular staircase going up through the building, which is miraculous, actually. It's like something that would you see in Barcelona.
It does have feelings of Gaudi about it, doesn't it? I was looking at the design and it's got it does feel very organic but also considered at the same time.
Oh,
absolutely. It's extraordinary in the sense of balance that it's got is the key sort of response that I had when I first looked at the design. And without having gone through all of the detail, there's so much work that must go into just getting to something that really the flavour of the building is a sense of light and balance and this organic, natural feel at the same time.
And
it's
an invitation.
Exactly. Yes. Inclusion and that welcoming feel.
It is. It's terrific. Oh, I'm glad you said
people
that,
people should
Harriet.
Look at Well, we were glad as a government to fund it. But
And I hope you might consider more.
Well, indeed. There's a lot more work to go. There's a lot
Never
more
give
to
up.
Go. That's the job and that's the job of advocates and it's the job of so many people within the community that came together to call for the Pride Centre and all of the stakeholder groups as well who were so fulsome in the way that they participated in that consultation process because this has to be developed of the community and by the community and for the community, not just for those of us here now, but for future generations.
Yes.
We want this to be something that definitely stands the test of time and the design just speaks that in volumes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yes, it does. So there it is. It had to create a beautiful presence and a future for the LGBTI community, but it also had to make something for St Kilda and Fitzroy Street. And I think all of Melbourne. I just think it's going to be an extraordinary contribution.
I think it's a wonderful design, and you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Shingers and Tass, and we have Dimity Reid in the studio, and we're talking about Australia's very first, the Victorian Pride Centre. So, Dimity, we've just been chatting about this whole process. What else excites you about the building itself and the designs that you've seen?
This building has three elevations, there's three public sides, and all of them have been carefully designed to be exciting. And now there are residential buildings in Jackson Street behind, and we wanted to make sure the Jackson Street neighbours were happy and that we didn't do anything that would upset them. And in fact, they are very happy. And so those public edges to the building, not only the Fitzroy Street one, which I've spoken about, which is crucial, but what we'd call the western and the southern elevations of the building. Also inviting, exciting, and it's a whole. So I think people will go there and look at it, even if they're not users of the building.
I hope so.
Yes.
I mean, I can't imagine how visitors to the city and visitors to the beach in particular, as they're coming in, won't just go, wow, what's that? You know, and we'll want to stop and have a look at it.
Jury comments, the wow factor.
Yes.
And that's as far away from office blocks as you could ever want to be with. There's
although
no
I'd yearn for a few office blocks that had a wow factor in them.
That's a big challenge, architecturally speaking. It's possible, but I have no doubt that the work is cut out for people who attempt that sort of work. But we do have a building. It's outwardly facing. There's so much to celebrate about it in terms of what it means for Prime, but what it means for that sense of inclusion, and it's going to be wonderful to see.
Well, that's an area that I'd like to pick up on, actually, because the only images that I've seen are those that are publicly available that have been released by the VPC, and some of those are on the website, but not all of them, by the way. So I might give that as feedback back to them.
All right,
there was quite a suite of images that were released with the media release last Sunday. Mm. And so those images show a couple of different perspectives, so internal perspectives from a variety of perspectives.
Yes.
And I thought they were all very beautiful, by the way. And they all are, I mean, there's lots of curves, there's lots of open spaces, there's lots of intimate spaces, and there's hardly a straight line anywhere. But I do wonder whether it might actually be intimidating.
No.
Okay, so that's my question. Building create an intimidating aura? Will it actually frighten people as they come in?
Oh, don't say that. No.
I'm asking the question.
No, it won't. I mean, there are a lot of buildings. We can look at some out the window here that might frighten you, I think.
But, I mean, if you think
If buildings are cold, they look that nobody's cared. There's no sense of somebody has really worked on the environment you're in to make it pleasant to be in, then that's frightening.
And curves as well are something.
Curves are warmer.
They're not brutalist by their very nature. And I think if there's landscaping added, I mean,
scale is an important thing.
But if you think about some of the buildings that were built in the 80s and 90s, the peak of the boom, and so you've got buildings like 101 Collins Street, which have these massive columns out the front, and you walk in, it's this massive atrium with a big pool of water. Now, yes, it is beautiful, but it's intimidating. It actually talks about power.
It does.
Talks about opulence.
I'd have to say the Melbourne architects, Denton Gorka and Marshall, who did 101 Collins Street, did a beautiful job, and then they brought in a New York architect to do
the facade.
Yes,
to
add a few New York columns and a bit of water and an intimidating.
Yes, and it is that.
And it's exactly that.
So my point is, will the VPC be an intimidating space for people who come in off the street?
I know. It wouldn't have got anywhere if it had. No. This is actually an engaging series of spaces. They're involving their spaces you want to be in and move between and move on. No. Intimidation would have been removed from any consideration.
Well, that's great to hear because if we really want this to be a welcoming and inviting space and we want visitors to come and look at it, we want people to come from the country to have a look at it. They do want to feel comfortable. They do want to feel invited. They do want to feel safe.
One thing that did strike me about the design is the amount of natural light, which I think is very, very helpful in engaging and making people feel at ease. And I know from the buildings that have been developed throughout regional Victoria, you can see a very big difference in new builds where there's a lot more attention given to ambient lighting and to the way that daylight falls in the feel of buildings. And that was definitely evident in the pictures that that have been published from the winning design. Yes. And it's something that the air feels more easy to breathe when you have natural light. And I know that having been a public servant working under fluorescent lighting for a big part of my life, it's one thing to do lighting poorly, but when it's done well, the difference is almost immeasurable.
Yes. Mm. Yes, you're right. It's hugely important. And the lighting is wonderful.
And sustainability?
Sustainability is important, and that will come in the documentation.
Fantastic.
And Brookie, at how, you know, what the materials you use and things like that. The other thing we should talk about is going to be the roof. Now, the roof, a north-facing roof looking to the sea in Fitzroy Street.
How wonderful
is
that
very engaging thing, and we can imagine weddings happen 24 hours a day, non-stop. We think this is going to be the wedding roof of all time.
That just means if one couple's running a little bit behind time, everybody gets very, very shirty.
It will encourage timeliness.
It's called scheduling, I think.
Yeah, well, I myself am not terribly good at it, so I can imagine a fair cohort of the people wanting same-sex marriage to be taking place on the top of this glorious new building. You're going to have to book far more time than they require just for that buffer that's necessary so everyone can run late.
So what other features are there that you can share with us for those of us that haven't seen the plans intimately like you have?
Well, there's going to be the council requirement from Port Phillip Council was that there was 10% of space for commercial activity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure. It hasn't quite been allocated yet because work has to go on and negotiate with all the stakeholders about where people want to be. My idea would be that the ground floor is where that 10% of space happens so that everybody can sell, it'd be a sort of market downstairs. And I'd like Qantas to be there or something. So people go in and buy tickets. I'm very keen on Qantas. I'm very keen on Qantas being involved in this building. But anyhow, that's something that
Do you have a relationship with
them? No, I have no relationship at all with Qantas, other than being a very occasional traveller. But
That's something you and Margaret Court definitely don't have in common.
Where did that come from?
I don't even know where that came from. It must be the tennis. It's the recent blockbuster numbers at the Australian Open. No, I didn't mean to take that into politics, but Qantas has been such a staunch advocate and supporter of everything around infrastructure and facilities that can help and assist and engage with the LGBTIQ+
community. And therefore, I'm very keen for Qantas to take an interest in this building.
So speaking of corporates, I have to ask
you
about
this. It's no good asking me about corporates.
No, but I have to ask you about your views about the Apple building. In Fed Square.
Oh, dear, I'm very unhappy about it. I'm unhappy about the designs that have been shown. Until about 3 days ago, I was unhappy about the whole idea of Apple being there. But anyhow, people who know more and are closer to government seem to think that that the square needs Apple, that it needs a good retail outlet. In fact, I was told that when the particular building, the Yarra building, which is proposed to be demolished, was first built, it was seen to be for Borders. So they thought they'd have a bookshop and then Borders pulled up.
Oh, Borders Books.
Borders Books, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And
well, they don't exist anymore.
No, this is what happens. And anyhow, look, we've got to let this run on a bit now. I was appalled by it because I see that it is such an Australian thing, representative of our nationhood. Mm. And I really felt that an international corporation was wrong. But I don't think I'm going to win on this, and therefore the task is to get the best possible building. And I'm hoping that a lot of work will be done to get a much better building, which looks as though it's a public building.
What's interesting for me, it looks like
a beach house to me.
It does a little bit. And what's interesting for me is that the current building is a real barrier between the river and the lovely parklands on the other side of Fed Square. So it was never designed with the context in mind. It was designed to create an internal, inward-looking environment and space, which for a lot of people is still inaccessible. And for a lot of people, there's not really a lot of reason to go there unless you want to go to the pub or you're a gallery freak like me or you want to go to see a movie at Acme. Really?
But
there's
people
not
do gather
lot.
There, Tess.
They do.
I mean, that is what's so successful about it. Public spaces are very hard things
One of the funniest things I ever heard was I happened to be in northern Greece about 4 years ago with my partner, and we happened to hear on the news that Fed Square was voted as the sixth best public square in the world. Now, we happen to be in a village that nobody's heard of. It was the middle of summer, and there were thousands of people in the village square at midnight. Children playing ball games, adults sitting around chatting, people drinking, people playing games.
And it wasn't for a particular occasion. It was
nothing.
Ordinary
it was
use
just an
of
ordinary
that space.
Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I have a video showing that on my Facebook side for my Facebook friends. It was a Tuesday night, and we just thought, this is extraordinary. And here we are, a village square in the middle of nowhere, really. It isn't even known that it's widely utilised, is the heartbeat of that community.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Fed Square as the sixth best in the world.
Well, it is. And stop pulling faces. and look, we lead different lives, but village lives are built around their local square, and that is where all public interaction happens.
Yes.
It's not in Western societies in that way.
Yes.
America, England, Australia. You know, people don't automatically go out and live their social lives or meet socially. Fed Square succeeds in that. So people go there, people of all ages go there, really. Just hang out.
I might just throw something controversial into the mix. I think the village square for so many people is now based in technology. And so that's an interesting slant to this particular issue, because the gathering places for people are as much about platforms and social media and online engagement as they are about physical presentation. So it's a curious development in the way that we use and engage with space and our sense of self. When you look at the number of people who are connected, we have, you know, when words like ringsiety come into the vernacular, ring-siety. And people are worried that they're going to miss...
What's ringsiety?
It's when your phone or someone's phone rings and you think it might be yours,
anxious.
But it's not, and you can't find your phone.
I do that when I'm watching television or something.
And this comes back to our engagement with technology, which is another piece in this discussion about how to make use of public space.
Yes. I mean, I think that's a very, very interesting point. But it's another point to say that probably in the village you're in, they may not be sitting around being addicted to iPads, iPhone.
They were. Modern, it's a modern village.
So they were all there.
Part of the modern world.
10,000
they all had
people,
their devices with them. They're all photographing,
but they were still talking
taking,
to each other.
Yeah.
But in fact, in Fed Square, in spite of that, exactly what you said, there are still people there interacting.
Dimity, thank
we're
you
being
very,
told to keep quiet.
Dimity, thank you very much for your time. It's really great to have you in the
studio. Okay,
no,
it's lovely being
I'm
here.
I'm sorry
Jess.
I pulled faces. I didn't really mean to. But I'd like to just end with a comment from one of our listeners, Chris Karyanis, who has been listening in. And Chris says, "Hi, I just looked at the design online."
This is the Pride Centre.
Yep, what an amazing design. I don't think it's intimidating at all. Fantastic design.
What an excellent listener.
Excellent listener. Chris, we love your work.
If you get more like that, you're doing well.
Dimity,
it's the
and we love
majority
you.
Support
more
that we're Chris's. Also after.
Absolutely.
Dimity.
Thank you for the great work that you've done with the Victorian Pride Centre. We have really enjoyed having you here in the studio, and we look forward to speaking with you again. And we also look forward to seeing the Pride Centre unfold and emerge
good.
Over the next couple of years.
It'll be wonderful. Okay, thank
I
you.
I think
Tess.
We need to wind up the show now. Is that right, Dylan? Harris, I've got to say it's been an absolute pleasure to
How
have you in the studio.
How good has this been today? I am so, I'm so just energised about the conversations that we've had. It's been such a pleasure to come back and in particular to co-host. I'm not Macca. I can never replace our beloved Macca, but it's been a pleasure to co-host with you today, Tass. I would love to do it again.
And it's so great to co-host with you when you haven't taken your grumpy pills.
Oh, well, I can do that if you'd like. It will save
no.
them.
No,
Parliament
no,
start
Macca
sitting again next week.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.